the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team.
Well, we're all familiar with emergencies, especially with the pandemic. We've seen issues where lack of food or toilet paper or even access to generic drugs because of supply chain issues with China. Well, what should you be prepared for? And that's why we're doing this show today. Joining me on the program is Kevin Matsukata. He is head of safety and security at Hawaii Pacific University. Kevin, given the nature of where we are today, whether it's cyber attacks, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, and power outs, I thought I'd have you back on the program. And you have something called a five-step process on how to prepare for emergencies. And I wonder if we could begin with that.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. Aloha to all. I'm located in Honolulu, Hawaii, as a former San Diegan for 10 years between the year 2004 and 2014. I've personally experienced earthquakes and wildfires as I worked in the local hospitals there in San Diego. But I like to share with the listeners just simple steps on how to prepare for emergency for the family or businesses. The main thing you should include is action plans, checklists, and some response guides that are located on the internet where you can go to FEMA.gov that has a lot of resources for you in order to prepare for emergencies. That these plans are tailored to the unique needs of the organization and any particular requirements of your industry. The best thing to do is expect the unexpected. So when you expect the unexpected, you have to do a risk assessment to identify potential emergency threats. The key thing is to get all involved, your family members or your workers that are responding to the emergency, and to know their roles. Those are specific plans that can help you with the response and also a recovery of an emergency. You want to also identify a process for evacuation, sheltering in place, or lockdown at the facilities. And that's what I've experienced during a wildfire, where that is key specific planning. You also want to seek on the preparedness plans from your stakeholders, including law enforcement, fire, medical hospitals, your public health agency, and emergency management. For the plans and procedures, I want to give you specific supplies that will help you doing it in emergency when you do your planning and your procedures. A walkie-talkie that's on eBay that you can purchase within your budget. There's walkie-talkies available from $20 to $800. So you can get a walkie-talkie where you can speak to your family member or your coworkers during a power outage. Some of the walkie-talkies, obviously, if it's more expensive, the radius of the walkie-talkie can go from 45 miles out. In the marina, it'll go longer. The less obstruction it has, the more distance a walkie-talkie can work. So I did a little bit of research on that. So if you want to go get some walkie-talkies, which I purchased, you know, here in the island, I just got a walkie-talkie that I can speak to my family member for 45 miles away. And that's on the other side of the island. Another important thing is make sure your gas tank is halfway filled. Expect the unexpected. When I was living in San Diego, I practiced what I preach, and all the gas stations were lined up for at least minimum 2 hours to try to get gas for an evacuation of 650,000 people during a wildfire. So that's a tip that you should take into consideration.
Maybe you'll get to this, but during those fires, yes, and for those of us that live in San Diego, the disasters always occurred someplace else until 2004 and 2007, where, as you mentioned, in 2007, we had to evacuate 650,000. And thank goodness I had a place to go to. We actually had boats at that time that we were putting employees and animals on because the whole city was on fire.
Yeah, Jim, I agree. So expect the unexpected again. These are the other supplies that really helped me inform family members and also churches and also the individuals in the business organization. Ensure that you have important documents all packed up: birth certificate, social security card, passports, your license, your wedding license, first aid kits. They're available at Walgreens, Walmart, Costco, Sam's Club. So first aid are a winner. Obviously, you have to prepare for water, because like Jim shared, when there was threats of shortages or the emergency coming, there were shorts of toilet paper, water. Here at in the island of Hawaii, we run out of rice. I thought that was kind of funny. But rice runs out. Your medication. I also did some research. Get a cooler and get ice packs. There's ice packs that when you use them, the different sizes, when you need to use them, you can crush the package and it'll turn into ice. And there's different levels of coldness for the ice. The coldest I saw was 2 degrees. Some individuals say that's too cold, but you can put it in a cooler and it'll last for numerous hours. So that's a tip that, you know, I did some research on. MREs, meals ready to eat. The shelf life is approximately, I believe, 5 years. So then you go ahead and rotate those out. Water is about 5 years as well. Another supply that you want to get is for your pets. A lot of times you forget to bring your supplies for your pets, especially their food. So that's pretty much the gamut for plans and procedures. And the next step I want to introduce to you is really brief. It's communication. So immediate and effective communication is essential during and after a disaster of any kind. In response, organizations need to be able to quickly make contact with everyone who will be impacted or will be part of the response. During the planning process, identify everyone who will be part of the crisis communication team and the platform they will use to disseminate and share real-time information. The communication platform should enable communication before, during, and after the incident among all internal and external stakeholders. You may also need to consider communication about the incident to news media, as well on social media, during or after the event. Proactive communication, providing accurate and timely information about the incident, can help lessen any negative events to your brand. And here comes the response, Jim. The response phase is where preparation can often reduce the effects of an emergency, but there are often unexpected situations which requires you to adapt and modify your plan on the fly. Response activities happen immediately before, during, and after an emergency occurs. The primary goal for organizations to save lives, ensure safety and security, reduce loss or damage property, and then as much as possible to maintain business operations and continuity. Here's a key that we practice in a lot of organizations, but family can do it too. It's regularly training throughout the year is important so that all members of the emergency response team, as well as all employees, are familiar with actions that they need to take in any type of incident, emergency or business disruptions. Best-in-class organizations run exercises at least 2 or 4 times per year, which help test and validate plans and procedures, as well as clarify roles and responsibilities. And the last thing, Jim, I wanted to share is the last step is doing your recovery and mitigation. So after any emergency, the goal is to return to normal as soon as possible. Generally speaking, the first priority during recovery is ensuring safety, providing essential needs, and restoring everything back to service. Recovery also includes repairing infrastructure as well as any other damages. It is also an opportunity to assess critical event actions that could lessen or mitigate the effects of the future of disasters. So basically, when you're looking at a disaster, what you want to evaluate is what you did well, what you need to evaluate, and when you come up with what you need to evaluate and to improve better in your planning and your process, go ahead and start doing another action plan. So it's a living document that you continue to improve on your planning and your preparedness.
I want to add one other thing, something that we've done personally, Kevin, and that is a shortwave radio. And, you know, when we did that show with the power out in California where they took out that power station, it was kind of an accident. At first we thought it was a terrorist attack. That's what the local news was telling us. And it was only through the shortwave radio that we learned that it was actually a power station. So we got better information from a shortwave radio than we did the local news.
Right. That's a good point. Many of our healthcare facilities here in the United States use satellite radios. They use CB radios to communicate when an episode happens because there's antennas that connect the communications. So when some of the antennas go down, satellite radios go straight to our satellites. And CB radios goes directly to the end user.
So let me talk about something else that we saw during the pandemic. And when we first went through the shutdowns, I had clients, Kevin, that couldn't get blood pressure medication. And part of it was the supply chain. Most people don't realize most of our drugs are made in China, especially the generics. So, you know, if you have, you're taking a statin drug, you're taking something for blood pressure, how do you deal with the issues with Medicare? Because a lot of times Medicare will only pay for 1 month at a time, and you really need to have a couple months worth of your key medications, especially for those people that have serious illnesses. How do you work around that?
Well, from personal experience, you need to work with your family physician. Your physician will evaluate and make an exemption on your supplies of your medication. So working with your physician will assist you, or the physician can guide you on what form, if there's any type of legal forms to fill out. But your physician will definitely help you to get you extra supplies. I personally had that. If you're going on vacation, same thing. Tell your physician that, you know, when I'm on vacation, I'm going to need additional supplies. And then they'll grant it to you. Good question, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, this was a real situation with myself, Kevin. Prior to getting COVID, I had emergency. I had ivermectin, hydroxy. I had Z-Pax. So when I did get COVID, I immediately went into my protocol. So I didn't have to worry. And thank goodness, because it kept me out of a hospital. So you never know. And I think that's the point that we're trying to make here. Who would have ever dreamed of COVID, here in San Diego, the fires that we had where we evacuated almost, 650,000 people?
Correct.
So there's all kinds of things. And the real big thing that we're dealing with now is basically cyber attacks that could take down the financial system. Let's talk about keeping some emergency cash because, you know, given what's going on in the Ukraine right now, there's all kinds of cyber attacks that are being taking place right now between us, the Russians, and other countries. And one cyber attack takes down the grid. And imagine the situation you find yourself in.
Correct. When I was in the healthcare field, what we prepared for a 96-hour independent standing alone. So it'll be a good idea if you have 96 hours, which is almost a week, to prepare financially for having your budget, which you need to look at, and how much you spend a week, whether it be $500 or $1,000. That would be a good start to have cash on hand to last you at least a week.
And what about things like for cooking, Kevin? When we had a power out, thank goodness I had an outdoor gas barbecue, and I was able to cook dinner because you couldn't cook dinner on the stove. So what about things like that, like emergency barbecue or something like that, so at least you can cook your food?
That's an excellent question. So for those of you who ever went to camping in your tent, you took it to the park, you took it to the beach, and you're setting up camp. That's what you call shelter in place. It's a temporary shelter where you would need if there's a power outage. You can bring your propane oven with you. You can make barbecue. You can get food. You can cook your food there at the beach, at the park, because what it is basically not having any resources. So having your old water there, your propane, your lanterns, you're pretty much way ahead of the group if you start preparing and purchasing these items, putting them to the side. And another thing, if you want to live in the luxury, you can get an emergency generator. I would get an emergency generator right now because the cost is low. Unfortunately, when there's a crisis, they mark up, like during the COVID, they started marking up all the PPEs. PPEs is a personal protection equipment, like your masks, like the sanitizers, like your disinfectant. The market just started raising all the prices. But if you were planning now, and I'm glad we're doing this podcast, because you're going to be way ahead of the game when you start preparing and gathering your emergency supplies right now.
You know, it's amazing because the last time we had a power out, Kevin, my house is solar powered, but it's tied to the grid. So I was outside looking across the way, and there's my neighbor. He has solar panels. His lights were on, but he had a generator and emergency batteries as a backup system when I talked to him. So that, you know, enough power to run the lights, the refrigerator, computers, things of that nature. Maybe not enough to run the pool filter or the air conditioning, but enough to keep the lights on.
Another resource you can use if you need any type of guidance, go to your local fire department. Your local fire department helps you with your property. They can do an assessment, or your local police department. Call the community relations department in both divisions, and you can get excellent resources from them.
So, Kevin, I'm going to make this presentation available on our website. So for those of you listening that would like to follow this and help prepare, because, I mean, just take a look at the events that we've seen, gosh, turning into the century from, the events of 9/11, Katrina and Rita, the pandemic, fires, tornadoes, hurricanes. You never know what's going to prop up next. Kevin, anything else that you would leave with our listeners as we close?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get the things that we talked about, like a checklist, an emergency plan, and what the emergency package or preparedness should look like, go to FEMA.gov. FEMA.gov has all your information, and also ready.gov.
All right. Well, listen, Kevin, thanks so much for sharing your wisdom. You know, once again, failure to plan is failure itself. So, all right. Well, listen, thanks for joining us on the program. All the best. Stay safe.
Thank you, Jim.
Well, Jim, that was a very good interview with Kevin Mazzucato. And again, like you noted in the intro, we've spoken with him numerous times in the past. And it just so happens that in almost every instance we've seen following that interview, something happened either that affected us personally at our company or many of our listeners as well. And it's good to be prepared. I wrote down a couple things, at least on my end, that I think I'm definitely going to be doing. And that is picking up some walkie-talkies that have a high range, up to 45 miles. I think that that's a good thing to do. Make sure my gas tank is half filled at all times. I have not been doing that. I'm going to make that a much more of a practice. Keeping those important documents, like you said, in a centralized location, or at least a place that you can get them easily in case you do have to run out. And then have those MREs, meals ready to eat, that have a 5-year shelf life. So those are some of the things that are high on my priority list.
Yeah, one of the critical things, folks, and I would just recommend this, your key financial documents, copies of your latest brokerage statement, things like your wills, your trusts, your durable medical powers, life insurance policies, we have that in a portable file container. So when the fires hit, that was one of the first things we grabbed, because all of our essential documents. Another thing I'd recommend, and it's very easy, you can go to Costco online, is I have 6 months worth of emergency foods. They're little buckets. They're 1 month for two people. I have 6 months, and I bought them for each one of my children and also for our grandkids. So they've got a couple months worth of food supplies. Now, on water, One of the things that we're going to rely on, because Costco also has water containers. So if you don't have a swimming pool, we have a swimming pool, but what we have is a silver water filtration system. So I could literally take buckets out of the pool, run it through the filtration system, and have purified water. Another thing, we have a shortwave radio, but, you know, once again, it's a plug-in. So we ordered a solar-powered shortwave radio and weather station because, you know, if there's a hurricane or weather-related. Something else that I also did, Chris, and this is really, really important. It's there's a watch, and it's made by the Polar Company, the people that make the heart monitors. I just ordered, it's called the Grit Pro watch. And for those of you that are like to do hiking, you're out in the desert, this watch will track your location, GPS. And also, if you get lost and you want to get back to where you started from, it's got your trail on your watch. So in other words, you can find yourself back to the spot because, you know, you all hear about people getting lost and hiking, and it also gives your exact location. So if you have something to communicate with, you can give that to the rescue people. The other thing that we're doing is we've got a portable barbecue because just in case, you know, they shut down the system and we lose gas. Now, the last time we had a power out, I have an outdoor grill with gas, so I was able to cook dinner outside while we were, you know, our power was down for almost half a day. Keeping things like candles and then also medication. Once again, you know, I told my story of how I got through COVID. Thank goodness I had therapeutics in storage so that when I did get COVID, it kept me out of the hospital and got me through it without temperatures, without side effects and things like that. So I want to recommend you do this. And if you have a chance, listen to Chris Sheridan's interview with Peter Zion. This is a guy that predicted 8 years ago in his book, The Accidental Superpower, an age of turbulence in this decade. And that's why we want you to be prepared. You know, it was funny, Chris, when we did the emergency show a month before Katrina and Rita, I couldn't believe the number of thank yous that we got, that people that were hit by the hurricanes and took emergency measures. In the meantime, on behalf of Chris Sheridan and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here. Until we talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.